Hello, hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio show. This week we have Associate Pastor Minister Horvath, who's going to be presenting Ignite Your Goals in a few seconds. But before we get to her, I want to just go over a few church announcements. Now, January the 18th will be Frankie Vive's House for Inspiration show. February the 25th will be the YCC Youth for Christ show. All of this is 4 p.m. Central Time. And then January the 31st will be DJ L. Dove's new show. Okay, everybody, I have been excited for this, so let me bring Minister Ho back on the line. Hello, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Happy New Year. I'm fine.
Happy New Year to you.
Yes, yes. I have been so excited about this show. Because with this being a new year, I know you're going to get us all organized.
Yeah, you know how it goes.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So I'm not, without further delay, I'm going to turn the show over to you and let me know what God has been saying to you lately.
Well, thank you so much for that. Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you for checking out our show today. I am so very excited. We are at the genesis of the year. I want you to think about it like that. I use that word deliberately. It is the genesis of the year, the very beginning of the year. It's a new slate. And, you know, you see these terms, these little sayings, new year, new you. Everyone knows the beginning of the year. People, you know, they wipe their slates clean and they start over. A lot of people fast. A lot of people do dieting. Weight Watchers go crazy in January. All the gyms have wonderful memberships because it's the beginning of the year and everyone has eaten and they drank a lot and they did all they wanted to do. And now they're saying, you know what? I'm going to take care of myself now. I got to get this stuff out of my system. You know, detox things, vitamins, all that kind of stuff. It's flying off the shelves. People are thinking about their new year. And I think that we should do the same thing. You know, so I have a couple of questions to ask some people because sometimes you don't really think about it. Now, I often tell you I don't really like the word resolution. I don't do New Year's resolutions. But this year right. I did make some promises to myself. And I made some promises, and I say that word because for me, not everyone, the word resolution, it begs for me to break it. It's for me too. But when I say I promise, especially to myself, it's a whole different thing. Like now, now I'm talking about my word. It's my character on the line. And you know what? My character is me. So when I make promises to myself, that means this is my very intention of handling this thing. So I want to ask a couple of questions to get people to start thinking about where we're going to ignite your goals, okay? So the first question that I want to ask is, and I want you to really think about this, are you better than you were last year?
Whoa, that's a heavy question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you better than you were last year? Yeah, I don't know. I'm not talking about just in relation to whatever goals you may have had. We're going to get there in a minute. But are you better than you were last year? I'm a firm believer that God intends for us to be better and better. You know, when he reveals himself to us, he reveals himself as being greater and greater and greater. And that's why I believe that we have to do it precept by precept. We can't take in all of how great he is. So it has to be step by step. And God has every intention for us to get to know ourselves the same way, step by step. So we should not be the same. We really should always be progressing and moving forward. I believe in that. The word says that he has a plan for us that's going to prosper us, to give us a hope in the future. So I believe that if we're going to live a life that's prosperous, that it means it's always going to grow in a positive way, always. So are you better than you were last year? You should be better. If you're not better than last year, then let's make a promise to yourself to be better next year, 2015 in January, You want to be able to say, hey, I'm better than last year. I don't care what the scale is. It may not be a large scale. It may only be half a step better. But you need to be better than you were last year. You agree with that?
Yeah, I agree totally with that. Totally with that. You know, if you're not growing, your life is dead. And, you know, Christ wants you to grow and to flourish like a plant, like and like a, you know, grow into a tree with, you know, and just get bigger and bigger. So absolutely, your goal should be, am I better than I was last year? Spiritually.
Yeah, and I'm also a believer that you can't continue to get to know God and remain the same.
Right. Oh, yes. Can you repeat
that
one more time?
That's tweetable. So for those who are tweeting, I'm going to ask you to tweet and put hashtag ITS or hashtag JHM at the end of it. Okay, I'm going to say this again. You can't continue to get to know God and not get better. Knowing God makes you better. You could tweet that too. Knowing God makes you better. So even if all you did is to continue to get to know God, you have to be able to say that you're better than you were last year. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
I'm tweeting myself, so just...
Okay. Okay, good. Remember, that's hashtag JHM or hashtag ITS for Ignite the Spirit. All right.
Okay.
So are you better than last year? Now, here's the thing I want you to think about. When you think about last year, when you think about the goals that you had, the resolutions you had, the things you wanted to accomplish, whatever it is that you call it, I want to know, did you accomplish any of them? Any of them?
No.
You know,
I'm going to say
did
no.
Did you accomplish any of your goals for last year? Because it's very easy to get sidetracked. You know, you start off in the beginning of the year, and you're young. You know, we got 365 days. It's January. We got 12 more months. We have all this time. You have all this energy and all this excitement. And you know what happens? Life. Life. Because by the time you get out of January, let me tell you something. First of all, you're going to say I'm crazy, but you know it's true. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of Christian people are fasting in January. A lot of them.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are fasting that may have never fasted before or may have never fasted to that extreme before. A lot of people are not really being very careful about how they're fasting. And really, by the end of the month of January, they're depleted. And then what happens, they start eating like they normally were eating, and then their bodies are all out of control. And before you know it, they're not thinking about any goal. All that is washed out the window. They're just excited that they got through the fast.
Right.
You know, it's like people go have gym membership, you know, and they go for the first month, and then they, you know, okay, you know, three times a week for the first month, and then February, you know, you got all that candy coming in, you know, Valentine's Day and all that, and you're like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to go twice a week. And by March, if you're still doing once a week, you're good. Okay.
Right.
So did you accomplish any of your goals last year? Right? That's just a yes or no. Okay?
There's no in-between with this. You know, and I'm going to be honest and let you guys know that listen to the show from last year. I didn't do anything, you know, that
I don't even know what I said I was going to do because I changed what I was going to do so many times, right?
You're
going
to
talk about that in a little bit. So did you accomplish any of your goals? Third question I want to ask you is, did you handle most of the roadblocks that came your way? Okay, we live real life and stuff happens. So there could be some of us that are doing fine with the things that we promised ourselves, with our resolutions, with the goals that we might have. And we might be going along just fine. And we could be in June and July and still moving fast. And all of a sudden, boom, we hit a roadblock. And sometimes that roadblock knocks the wind out of you. And sometimes it puts you in a vegetative state.
Right.
And some of us are just waking up from the vegetative state of the roadblock. Did you handle the roadblocks that came your way? You know, we're Christians. We believe that there's nothing that comes our way that we can't get through. But sometimes it's the process of getting through that nearly takes us out.
Yeah.
You know?
That is the toughest part of it all is getting through it. That's
absolutely
the storm. You know.
Exactly. And you know what we do during the storm? We sing all the songs, you know, we do all that kind of stuff, you know, that helps us recognize the fact that we're in the storm as if we're going to forget. You know, sometimes I think that those songs and those things that keep us focused on the fact that we're in a storm keep us in the storm. We should be praising our way out. We should change that up. We shouldn't get down and lonely and sad with it. We should jump up and praise. We should listen to some praise music. We should talk to God about how great He is. We need to get through the storm, not sit there and realize we're in it. We know we're in it. So how did you handle most of your roadblocks? That was the third and last question that I had for you. Here we go. The questions begin. Are you better than you were last year? Did you accomplish any of your goals? And did you handle most of your roadblocks? Now, here's what I have to say. For those of you who could say that, you know, you accomplished some things, that you're better than where you were, you handled your roadblocks, awesome. I'm excited for you because this is only going to help you get better. What you're going to learn today is going to really just catapult you in a whole other category. Now, for those of you who are saying, nope, I don't really know, I'm not really sure if I'm better than last year, and nope, I didn't really accomplish those goals, and you know what, those roadblocks darn near took me out, I'm going to say you are right where you need to be right now because I have a plan for this year that's going to help you out. Now, I'm going to tell you that you're going to need to be listening to us monthly, all right? We want you to listen live. We want you to tweet. You know, we're going to be opening up our chat room, all that stuff. We're going to be, you know, finding ways to get information to you throughout the year. But we're going to be doing some check-ins on a regular basis to help you keep in line with what it is your goals are. So here's what you need to do. If you're listening, make sure that you have a pad and a pen with you right now because I have a lot to say and not a whole lot of time to say it.
And I want everybody to know that, you know, I'm hanging out in the chat room, so come please join me with your comments and your questions, and let's go. I got my pen ready.
All right, let's go. Can you tell them how to get into the chat room?
Yes, as you go to www.journeyhomeoutreachministries, hit Minister Horvath, and then it will direct you to the chat room.
All right, so get to the chat room if you have questions. That's the way to get them to me. You know, I'll see what we can do about getting them on the air and getting them answered quickly. All right, so here's the thing. What's next? Okay, for the next year, the new year of 2015, do you want wishes or do you want progress? I don't know about you. I want progress. So you need a notebook, you need a listening ear, you need to have your mind be present with me right now because we're about to talk. Now, I believe last year I probably talked about three steps to a maximized life. I stand by that. There really are three steps to maximize your life. And the first thing that I'm going to tell you that we need to do, the reason why I asked you those questions that I did, is that we were doing step number one, ground yourself in the truth. Listen, if you don't know your truth, you can't change your life. Okay?
Yes.
That's tweetable. If you don't know your truth, you cannot change your life. The Bible says in John 8:32 that they will know a truth and you will know a truth and the truth will set you free. That's in the NIV. In the King James Version, it says it will make you free. Here's what I know, is that truth and freedom go hand in hand. And truth is a powerful thing. When I train leaders at work, I always talk to them about a process called the Johari window. And that talks about the things that you are aware of that you know about yourself. You often hear people say, well, I like this and I do that, or the kind of person I am is blah, 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 right?
Right,
and
right.
Then there are the things that you and other people know to be true about yourself. But then there are those things that other people can see and know to be true about you that you are not aware of. And those are the things that if you don't know those things, if you're not aware of those things, those are the things that can come and sneak up on you and get you. And so we do a little process when I'm training people at work to be leaders where we give people an anonymous way to give feedback to the leader about themselves. And often, and they just answer simple questions, and often they are very surprised about how people are viewing them because all they know and all they receive is what they believe to be true about themselves. You must know your truth. The reason why we, as Christians, we go through things is that God is trying to refine us, to mold us, and to make him make us over in the image that he had intended before sin got us. Okay? You have to understand that. He is always kind of trying to mold and shape us into something greater. And and there's two things that he knows that we don't know. He knows the things that we don't see, and he knows what he created us to be. And those are the two things that we don't know. That's the reason why it's important to trust him and allow him to do it.
Yes.
So I ask you, what is your truth? You see, because in order for you to begin to establish goals and a vision for your life, you got to know where you're standing. Okay? Where does your life need to be stretched? Where does it need to be improved? What needs to be altered? Where does your life need to be shaken up? What is it that you're unhappy with in regards to your life, yourself? Who are you when no one is looking?
Right.
What are you thinking about when no one else is around and no one can hear your thoughts? Who are you? And are you okay with that? Or is there something there that you want to change? Are you living the life that you dream of? And if not, what are the things that are holding you back? Okay, there are four things that I know that I hear people often say, well, these are the things that are holding me back. Money, big one. People always talk about money holding them back.
Yeah.
You know, there is no shortage of money in the world. I just want you to know that.
No.
And we all have the same opportunity to get money.
Yeah, it's just a shortage of faith.
Exactly. God said that we have the ability to get wealth, right? So that's established. We have to figure out how to do that, but that's established. So money is a lot of times what people say holds them back from the life they want.
Okay.
For some people, it's knowledge. Oh, I don't know how to do that. Or I don't have a degree, or I never graduated from this school, or I never got that training, or no one ever told me. You know, oh, come on, people, take responsibility for what you know. The Internet is filled with any kind of information that you want, okay? There are colleges and universities that post classes online for free for you to listen to. I mean, you may not get the degree, but you still get the information, and that's what you want. Right? There are books. There are books out there. I mean, libraries do still exist. Last I checked, it was free to check a book out. Libraries even allow you to check out Kindles. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of libraries are now allowing people to check out Kindles. And if you have a Kindle or another type of tablet, check out your local library because a lot of libraries have the ability for you to check out books online.
Wow.
Look at that. I know. It's
Look
amazing.
At that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, but knowledge is there and it is available, and a lot of knowledge is really free. The other thing that tends to stop people that says holds them back is people. And we know that that's true. But, you know, you're going to have to deal with that. And that's another whole show.
Right.
That's another whole show, dealing with people. But one of the things that holds people back that I think that we don't pay enough attention to, it really is fear, just being afraid. oh, mm-hmm. I'm not going to get what I need, or if I try for that, I'm not going to get the money anyway, or if I try to go to school, I'm still not going to be able to get through it. Or, you know, fear. Just being
fear.
Afraid. You know,
yeah.
Fear
and,
about
and,
nothing.
Nothing. And we don't even God did not give us a spirit of fear. So when it comes to fear, they said that this is a lot of the reasons that people don't succeed in life, because they're
mm-hmm.
too afraid to succeed. They're afraid of
yes.
success.
Yes. How often did you hear someone say, oh, they're never going to let me blank?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You
mm-hmm.
hear that.
Right.
Or they don't want me to succeed, or they're never going to, you know, especially amongst minorities, you hear things like, well, they're never going to let a minority, whether it's a black person, a Spanish person, a Chinese person, you know, fill in the blank, right?
Right.
They're never going to let
right.
blank get ahead. You know, you hear that all the time. That's a cop-out. Nobody said that it's going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is,
no.
do you want it? Do you want it? Okay? So face your truth, because when you face your truth, you'll begin to establish your why. There is nothing more important on a goal than the reason why you want it in the first place. Because if you can't remain hungry for it, you know, like you have to know why you want it. Because if you don't really want it, you're not going to be passionate about it. It's never
right.
going to happen. Your why establishes your passion. Look, there's a difference between wanting more money because you have none and you're hungry, and wanting
mm-hmm.
more money because you want to have steak every day of the week. There's a difference.
Right.
Okay? So there's a difference between wanting more money because you need a coat and it's freezing outside, and wanting more money because you want your fit coat. There's a difference. The passion on
yeah,
that
is
different. Okay? So you need to establish your why. Why do you want this thing? Here's the reason why you need to know that. Because there are going to be times when the only thing you're going to have to hold on to make that goal happen for yourself is the reason why you want it.
Right.
That's the only thing. Because people aren't going to be there for you. You're not going to feel like you have the support that you need. You're going to feel like it keeps slipping out of your grasp, slipping out of your grasp. And you know what? If you can't keep yourself ignited, if you can't keep yourself on fire for that goal, it's not going to happen, because no one else is going to do it for you, because no one wants that goal for you more than you want it for yourself.
Oh, amen.
That's
amen.
Tweetable. Nobody wants the goal for you more than you want it for yourself. Okay, so I'll give you an example for myself. When I think
yeah.
of goals, I think overall, like, because I think a little bit further out, and then I bring it closer to me, right? So I'm looking at my life in stages, and I'm looking at, okay, when I'm 75, God only knows if there's going to be, you know, any kind of Social Security and how much money that is going to be. And that money, if it is there, what I'm going to be able to do with it by the time I reach 75. That's like almost 30 years from now for me. So I want my financial situation when I'm 75 to be in a certain place, because I don't want to have to work because I have to work. I want to work because I have a desire. You
yes,
know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I want that
difference.
Desire to work. I don't see myself ever not working because I enjoy it. But I want to be able to say that I'm doing something that I really have a passion for. Because I'm in a place in my life where financially I don't have to worry the way I worried when I was younger, right?
Right.
So I'm thinking about that now, and I'm looking about the kind of life that I want to have when I'm 75, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the next 5 years, and I'm saying, okay, well, what kind of things do I want to see myself doing in the next 5 years? Oh, my gosh, I want to speak. And that's a lot for me, because I never really was able to say that I really wanted to get up in front
right.
of people and talk, right? So
right.
one of the things I know is that I want to speak. So I need to start thinking about what is my platform, what do I want to say, and where do I want to go when I say it? You know, at what point do I really want my feet to hit international soil and I stand up and I give a word?
Wow.
Is that a year from now? Is that 2 years from now? I need to think about that right now. And then the other thing that I'm thinking about is my education. What more do I need to know? All right? What information do I need about myself, about the places I want to go, about the things I want to acquire? I'm not talking about just formal education, okay? Because usually when we say that, people automatically think you mean some kind of degree or trade school. I'm just talking about information. I need to get education. I need to understand how money works. I need to understand other ways to save and other ways to produce income. I need to find ways to produce income that doesn't require me to be there when I get it. How do I do that, right? So I'm thinking about these things right now. Those are my big, you know, long-term visionary type of things, okay? Right. This is what you need to do. You need to think about what kind of life do I want to live? What about in the next year? Because for some of you, you only got the next year to think about. You can't even get past thinking about the next year. Some people can't think out past the next 6 months. Some people can't think past tomorrow, okay?
Right.
What I'm saying to you is that you really need to think about the direction that you want your life to go and start thinking big. Dream big dreams. We serve a big God that can do anything if you would just trust him. It's called faith, and it's called belief. Don't be afraid to think big dreams. You can only get what you're able to see. Think giant size, astronomical, ridiculous, stupid, off-the-wall dreams. That's the kind of dreams that I want to see you guys dream. Big dreams. Don't let anything stop you from dreaming giant size, crazy dreams. Because anything that you dream, God has way, way more than that. You can't outdream him, outthink him, outwish him, outhope him. You can't. So dream big, okay? Dream big. All right, now, what do you do with those dreams? How do you deal with that? How do you start breaking that down? Well, there's a wonderful scripture in Habakkuk. It says, write that vision down. Make plain upon the table so that they that see it would run with it. You need to keep it in front of you.
Right.
You need to literally write it down. You need to take pictures of things. You ever look through a magazine and a picture just hit your spirit? Tear that picture out of the magazine. Get a little folder or something, a place to put them. Get a bulletin board to put these pictures up. I like to take a thumbtack and then one of those clips, and I just clip pictures onto, you know, onto that and hang them on the thumbtack. And if you don't have a bulletin board, just be on your wall. Like, you don't have to do anything crazy, elaborate, fancy. You need to see your vision in front of you. You need to see it in front of you. Take pictures. Most people these days have cell phones with cameras. Take pictures of things that move you, things that interest you. They have apps for vision boards where you can take all these pictures and put them in one collage. You can print those out, get multiples of them, fold them, put them in your pocket, put it in a notebook, post them everywhere. Post it on your refrigerator. Post it on your bathroom wall. Post it on your mirror. Wherever, post it on the back of your door so that every day when you get ready to leave the house, you see it. And when you see it, every time you see it, declare a word over it. Get a scripture and declare a scripture over it. Look at that and praise God for bringing it to you. I mean, you have to begin to get that in your mental spirit. You have to get that within yourself. You have to not believe, just believe. You have to know these things are yours, and the universe is working to bring them to you right now. Get that thing clear. Get your vision. Write it down. Keep it in front of you, all right? Now, we've done this exercise before. I want to do this exercise again real quick for those of you who are listening, because I think that it really does give us something concrete to understand the importance of vision, all right? I want you to think of a new car that you want, and don't go cheap because it's being given to you for free. Everything you need to keep it is given to you for free. The insurance is being given to you. If you need a driver, if you don't drive and you need a driver, that's being given to you. The upkeep and the maintenance is being given to you. The gas is being given to you. Everything that you need for this car is going to be given to you for free. Knowing that, that means there are no restrictions on you on the vehicle that you want. Think right now, what is the car that you want?
Mm-hmm.
You can have the car that you want custom made. What color do you want it to be? What
right.
kind of seats do you want it to have? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, do you want it to have, you know, navigation system? Do you want it to have heated seats? Do you want it to have, like, what do you want it to have? Do you want the leather to have your name imprinted on it? What do you want this car to have? Okay? I want you to think about it, you know? Really
yeah.
think about this car that you're going to have. And I don't want you inside it yet. I want you outside the car. I want you to see it. I want you to see it shining. I want you to see the wheels brand new. I want you to see all of those, the beauty of the chrome on those hubcaps. You know, I want you to see the beauty of this vehicle, how the lines on the car are just perfect,
mm-hmm.
perfect. And then I want you to walk over to that car and touch it because it's real. And then I want you to open the door of the car, and I want you to inhale that new car smell. Nothing smells like a new car but a new car.
Right, exactly.
You know, they try to get these air fresheners and candles to smell like it, and they come close. They come close, but nothing smells like a new car
except
a new car.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get inside that car. You let that seat wrap around you, whatever kind of seat it is that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a driver that you want it, then you sit in whatever seat you want to sit in, whether it's the front, whether it's the back. Maybe you got a limo. I don't know what you got. You might
right.
have a jacuzzi
right.
in there. I don't know what you have in your car. And I want you to get in that car, and I just want you to ride with the perfect music on, because you know we have to have our music on while we're riding in that
right.
car.
Right, right, right.
You know, it's that summertime day when you're about to go past all your friends. You know, and you have to have the perfect song on. It's a good
exactly.
hair day.
Yes. Yes.
It's a good hair day. You look good. You smell good. And you are in your new vehicle. That's what I want you to think about. That is how real your vision needs to be to you. Spend
mm-hmm.
time on this step. Do not rush it along. Okay. Now, for
yes.
those of you who can get caught up in the details, do not spend 3 weeks creating a vision.
Okay,
don't do that. Keep in mind, you can keep adding to the vision as you go along, but you need to get your vision to a place where it really is real and you have developed a desire for it. This is about increasing your desire so that you can feel like you can touch it, you can taste it, and you can visualize this for anything, whether it's going to school, having a family, finding a new church, going on vacation, buying a new house, getting a new apartment, going on vacation, whatever it is, you can
right.
use the same exercise for that. It doesn't
right.
matter what it is.
No, it doesn't.
Visualize
it. Right, but you have to see it. You have to see it. And that's what the exercise is trying to get everyone to do, is to start seeing yourself where you want yourself.
Yes. Where do you see yourself? Where do you want yourself?
Right.
What is God saying to you? When God says it to you, he says it to you in your mind. Then you'll see something on TV. You'll open a book or a magazine and you'll see it. Somebody will say something to you. Oh, my gosh, how many different hints do you need to have to know that it's for you?
It's for you. Absolutely.
Now, here's the other thing, is that the whole point of writing the vision down is not just to make it real to you, but to make it real to others. Why is that important? I'm going to tell you why. Because God works through people. And when he's going to get something to you, he's going to get it to you through people. It's not going to be as simple as you working your way to something, because someone's going to have to open the door. Someone's going to have to give you the opportunity. Someone is going to have to believe in you. Someone might have to support you in some kind of way. financially, emotionally, spiritually. Maybe someone will pray for you. Maybe someone will fast for you. Maybe someone's going to have to cook meals for you. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you're going to have to live in someone's house for a little while to get you to this place. I don't know. But
right,
they have to
right.
believe in your vision, and they cannot believe in your vision until you do. Until you're
mm-hmm.
able to believe it and you're able to paint that picture of what that goal is that you want, no one else can believe it. And here's what you have to believe in your heart. God has people who are created just to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because if he gave you the vision, he has
right.
the responsibility to carry it out. And he never intended for you to carry it out alone.
Right.
Even when he gives you the vision to get a new house, somebody has to okay the loan.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to help you get that down payment. Somebody has to help you move in. There might be something in particular that you want, and somebody's going to give you a gift of that item that you couldn't afford because you just bought the house. Remember, God works through people, and he is concerned about everything that concerns you.
Everything.
Everything. What is your vision for 2014? Where do you see yourself in December? Where do you want to be living? What kind of job do you want to have? What are the dreams that you have for your children? Where are you going to be going to church? What's going to be happening with your job? Are you in ministry? What is going to be happening with that? Can anybody get ignited about that? Can you get
yes.
excited about the possibility of your future? Get God involved in it, okay? Remember, you have to paint the vision, not only for yourself, but for others to see it. Now, there are other people living in your house, and you're saying, I'm not going to put up a vision board. I'm not going to put that in the bathroom. I'm not going to put that on the back of my door. Why not? Show
yeah.
your children how to dream.
Yes.
Imagine how powerful for you to put your dream up and your children or the people that are living with you to begin to see those things come to pass. When
wow.
they begin to see those things happen for you, do you not think that they're not going to start dreaming big dreams, that they're not going to
yeah.
create their own vision boards for themselves? And think about this. When you have to, when your children have to make these hard decisions that they have to make when you're not around, do you want them to be thinking about which friends of theirs are going to laugh at them? Or do you want them to think about, well, if I go this way, that's going to mess up the dream and vision that I'm looking at?
Mm-hmm.
I would rather my child have a dream or a vision of something that they want to accomplish so that they can just say no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, imagine if your child has a true dream or a vision to go to school to become a certain thing. Not just say it, but really have a passion to do something. And they have an opportunity to take a drug or not.
Exactly.
When you know that taking that drug can hinder that dream.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have a dream to begin with, I think that's why a lot of children say, what the heck?
Mm, exactly.
Why not?
Why not? And that's what
having
violent.
Having a vision is important.
Yeah.
Okay, so how much time we got left? Oh, we're good. Because I have to get to how you break this thing down. All right?
Okay.
So we face our truth, all right? We have an understanding
mm-hmm.
of what it is we want to accomplish. We're getting to a place where we understand why, okay? And now
okay.
we're beginning to develop that vision. Now, the third step is always the execution.
Okay.
Okay?
But
you need to give your dream, your vision, your promise, your resolution, whatever it is that you have to do, you need to give it gas, okay? Cars don't
mm-hmm.
get anywhere without gas. And let me tell you what gas stands for. It stands for goals and steps. Give it gas. Goals
okay.
and what do I mean by that? Listen, you got to break that thing down, okay? Here's the deal. I didn't want to lose 50 pounds, but it's not going to happen between tonight and tomorrow without me cutting off a limb, and I'm not doing that.
Okay.
You may want to run a marathon, but you're not going to be able to finish it if you haven't even run a block yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You might want to do a 10K walk, but you get tired when you go across the street. So you need goals and steps. You need to break this thing down into things that you can accomplish. Here's what I told my son when my son was learning to drive. And, he had a lot of things going on at one time. It was getting his license and getting into school. And he had, like, five different things he was trying to accomplish. And I looked at him and I said, listen, what you need right now is a sure win. Because after you have a sure win, you could take the energy of that win and apply that to the next goal.
Right.
Whichever one is the next hardest. Okay? So here's what I say to you. All of your goals, if you work in the corporate world, you will hear people saying that goals need to be smart. Goals need to be smart. What does that mean? It means that they need to be specific. They need to be measurable. They need to be attainable. They need to be realistic. And they need to be timeless. Well, I don't know what that means. It means that your goals need to make sense. That's what it means. So if I want to lose weight, I need to quantify it. Well, how much weight do you want to lose? Oh, I want to lose 10 pounds. Okay, great. When do you want to lose it? Do you want to lose it in a week? Do you want to lose it in a year? Do you want it in 5 years? When? Oh, well, it's January. All right, I'm going to lose 10 pounds by February 28th. Now, see, now that makes sense because it's a specific amount. I can measure the amount as 10 pounds. It's attainable. It's a realistic amount of time in which to do it in. See, here's where we often go wrong. We set goals that are hard. Why?
Yeah. We sure do.
That you can only set a goal that's going to be difficult to accomplish. Now, I understand stretching it, but when it comes to that part is the vision part. Stretch the vision as far as you can. But when it comes to the steps to get the vision done, take it step by step. God teaches us precept by precept. Why? Because we can't handle it. But think about it right now. If everything you know about God and faith right now, you learned it the moment after you got saved. Come on now.
Right.
You probably would lose your mind and would have ran out of church.
Mm-hmm.
No way I'm believing all of that because y'all crazy.
Right.
But over time, through study, through experience, through doing different things, through God's revelation, through other people and seeing what they've been through, as you have matured and grown up, you've come to understand things differently, right? It's the same thing when you set your goals. Extravagant, lavish goals, step by step. Let me tell you about something else. This is really true. Think about it. Back in the day when people bought homes, like when my parents bought their house, people would move into their homes with the furniture that they had. And that often meant that they might have a room or two that didn't have furniture in it yet. It really did. And those rooms remained empty until they saved up enough money to go and get the furniture, because a lot of people didn't necessarily work on credit back then.
Right.
Okay. Now, people move into houses, they furnish every single room, they remodel everything, they create this mountain of debt. Why? Because they don't want to move into a house that has an empty room because they're afraid of what somebody might say. and then in the end, they're living in a way where they're house poor because they put all this money into making it look pretty, but they have not really arrived to that place yet.
Right.
You know, back in the day, you would buy the bed set, you know, and then you would have your living room set, and then you'd get your dining room set, and then you might get some new dishes and some new curtains. And you know what? In a few years, you had a full house.
Yes.
And that's the way it was done. The same thing when you have extravagant goals, step by step by step. If you want to run a marathon, you do not sign up today and a week from now go run that marathon when you haven't been running at all. That's suicide. Okay? Give it gas. Give your goals some steps. Okay? A car never reaches its destination without gas. Neither will you. Break it down until it's small enough to achieve. Tweet, 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 tweet. Break that goal down until it's small enough to achieve. Stop making life hard for yourself. Other people will make it hard enough for you. You want to go to college? Great. You know what you want to study? Great. Do you have an idea where you want to go? Okay, what are the colleges in that area? Let's take a look at the financial aid. Call the school, visit the school, meet with a counselor. Do all the things that you need to do. Write down all those steps. Now, for those of you who use planners, those are the steps that get written into your day-by-day planner. So on a Monday, I'm going to call these few schools. On Tuesday, I'm going to do some more research. On Friday, I'm going to go for a visit over here. The next week, I'm going to go meet with this counselor. You see what I'm saying? This
right.
is how you get it done. By the time you're finished, you have all your paperwork done, your transcripts are done, and you're starting school in September, and you're on your way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a part of the overarching goal of getting the degree. Okay.
I'm with you, my
sister. The same is true. Give me a goal. Give me a goal that you have.
I have a goal to deliver more sermons this year.
Okay. Okay. So what has been your greatest roadblock?
Time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Time and people. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Time and people. Greatest roadblocks are time and people, and you want to deliver more sermons.
Yes.
Okay. When you say time, is it a lack of time?
It's a lack of time to prepare, yes.
Okay, which to me would tell me that there might be a lack of planning.
Yeah.
Okay.
yeah, right on. So suppose you're going to tell you like it is, you know.
and this is important. I want people to see because, you know, when they're by themselves and they're doing this is what that looks like, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you want to do more sermons. Some of the issues that you come up with are the lack of time and the lack of and the issues with people. Now, here's the thing. It's important for you to think of that roadblock, and that was the next part of it, the roadblock. The roadblocks are the stop sign, the yield sign, that caution light, you know. Sometimes it's a giant pothole that flattens your tires. How do you deal with those roadblocks? Now, I want you to think about this. Think about this. And here's really true. I want you to think about Jesus for a minute. Jesus got up early in the morning to pray, and then he became the miracle man. He was all, like, he was teaching, he was preaching, he was healing folks, he was telling people off, he was beating people, like, he, you know what I'm saying? But when you read things, it says he went off to pray as he often does. He went off to pray as he often does. He went off to pray as he often does. The Holy Spirit knows what it is that we're supposed to be doing. And the Holy Spirit is going to help us with those roadblocks. The Holy Spirit, you know what? When I first went into coaching, one of the things that they taught me was give your plans over to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit organize your day. Well, I found out that I was putting too much in my day. I wanted to do 8 things, and the Holy Spirit would say, no, just these 3. Just these 3. And I found that at the end of the week, I got more accomplished listening to the Holy Spirit than trying to do the 8 things that I had on my plate because I still had 7 things at the end of my week dealing with it the way I did. So when the Holy Spirit got involved and told me to do 3 things, at the end of the week, I got more accomplished than the 8.
Mm-hmm.
You see, God cares about all things, all right? And the Holy Spirit will let you know when you're on point. So it's important to, number one, spend that time with God. Let him direct your path. Let him direct your day. Let him organize your time. You want to do more sermons? Sermons can drop, boom, in a moment's time. You can get them in an hour. You can get them in half an hour spending time with God. Right? Especially when you have a quiet moment.
Yes.
Now, what the cost of that is, it's going to cost you focus. It's going to cost you commitment. And those are two things that many of us don't want to give. We don't want to give the commitment, and we don't really want to give the focus.
Right. It's easier to blame it on the roadblock.
Oh, come on.
I mean,
it is so much easier.
We get stuck right there.
You know, I got a flat tire because I ran over, I went through the pothole, not because I was doing 60 in a 35-mile zone and not looking at what's in front of me.
Exactly.
You know, and then also remember one of the earlier teachings we had about our Christian arsenal. There's prayer, there's fasting, there's praise, there's giving. All those things push roadblocks out of the way. See, here's the thing. Some roadblocks will come. But whether God sent or God allows, you can get through them. Here's the thing. When it hits you, it's because it's causing you to be stretched. It has a purpose for being there. It's causing you to take another look at, okay, did I do something wrong? Did I not go about this the wrong way? Or is this just a learning opportunity for me to learn how to trust God and know that he's real? Because it's one of the two. Either God is allowing you to reap the reward of not doing what you were supposed to do, or he's trying to get you to trust him. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because sometimes we're doing stuff that God wants to do.
Right.
And sometimes we're just not listening to him. Here, listen to this. This is tweetable, okay?
Okay.
God does not have to move the mountain. He only has to show us the way around it.
Okay. Ooh.
God does not have to move the mountain. He only has to show us how to get around it. We just want to get around it.
Yes.
There might be an open door right there that you just walk right through it. And sometimes you might have to walk around it. But some of us are being stubborn and trying to climb it. And some of us are trying to kick it. And some of us are yelling it at it to get out the way. And God is saying, what are you doing? Follow me. I'm the leader over here. Okay? So you have your goal that you want to accomplish. The first thing that I say, submit it to God. Spend some time with him. This is what I'd like to accomplish. Am I on target? All right? When you're not on target, you're going to know instantly. He'll tweak it, whatever, whatever. But trust him. Because the moment that he releases you to do this thing, it is now his responsibility, not yours.
Right.
It is now for his glory and not yours. Let him get it done through you.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit has to come upon you and work through you. So say, okay, I need you to plan my day. You know, there are times when I've gotten sermons just because I was up and just meditating on the Lord.
Right.
You know, I mean, and it's because I'm meditating
exactly what
and I'm thinking. I'm thinking and I'm talking and I'm listening to him. So you have to be open to what God has to say. See, people, this is Christian life coaching. I'm not going to tell you how to get something done without God being involved. So if you expected to get your goals ignited and figure out all the ways that you were going to be great without having God involved, you have the wrong show. you have the wrong show. Okay?
You surely
do. I want you to be great according to God. All right, God is going to do this for you. He's going to do it through you and with the help of the Holy Spirit, who is our counselor, who is supposed to be helping us, who we are supposed to be listening to and getting our guidance from. It is all going to be accomplished and then some. So you submit your goal, and then you begin to break it down. Okay, so maybe today you're going to read certain chapters in the Bible, and maybe tomorrow you're going to watch a particular program, and maybe the next day you're going to have a conversation with someone. But you know what? Before you know it, you're going to see the scheme of all those things, and you got your sermon right there. And in the middle of the afternoon one day, God says, okay, Sister Pucci, I got you for the next hour. You need to write out all that stuff that's in you. You didn't even know it was there.
Right.
But he gave it to you because you read one morning and you watched the show another morning and you had a conversation with someone another day, and all of a sudden, you know, you were putting out a post and God says, okay, put that down. I need you to write something for me. And next thing you know, the sermon is done.
Right.
And you're ready to preach that word. But God begins to open up doors for the preaching opportunities to come. Why? Because you've made yourself available.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, I believe that has a part of good.
No, I was just saying that, you know, being spending time with him is the only way to bring a sermon. Thus why I haven't doing them.
Yes.
As much as I like to, it's because of that God time. You have to have it.
You have to have it. And I don't know about you, but I feel it when I'm off kilter.
Oh, yeah.
I feel it. Yeah, I feel it. And I know that I need to get back on kilter, but sometimes I'm so busy running my own life. You know, I'm so busy running my own life instead of letting God run it that I don't have that time. And you know what happens to me? A lot of times I get sick and I have to lay down in bed, and God says, see, if you would have just spent some time with me, I wouldn't have had to let this happen in order to be able to talk to you.
Exactly.
Because he's going to do what he needs to do. Here's the thing. Once you belong to him, you belong to him. There ain't nothing you can do about that.
No, nothing.
He's not about to lose. He's really not about to lose.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Not at all.
You know,
right.
No. So I just want to go over that again. You know, you have your truth. You know what it is that you want to accomplish. You have your vision. Okay. You got to start writing that vision down, putting it all around, make it real to you and the people around you. You'll be surprised how people come on board when they see that you are operating in this realm. See, here's what happens. When you operating in the realm of the spirit while you're living here, and what I mean by that is when you're doing what God intended for you to do, it's kind of like a wave that comes in the ocean. It's like a wave of goodness comes. And everything that you need to get something accomplished just comes and overwhelms you. And you actually just kind of glide along with the wave. It's an effortless victory. That's really the way it happens. There are many people out there that are listening that understand that. It's kind of like you just step into this place in the spirit and you feel it. It's a magnetic force. You just keep on moving. And before you know it, it lands you, boom, right at the end of that goal, and you've accomplished it. So you have to have that vision. You have to then put some steps to it. Get it gapped. Take a look at the roadblocks. Break down your steps. Make it so that you can win. Don't make it so that it's hard to win. Make it easy. Break it down real small.
Right.
Be good to yourself. Stop being hard on yourself. Other people will give you goals that are ridiculous. Give yourself some easy goals. Give yourself a whole bunch of them, because when you're winning, that emotion of winning, the joy, the satisfaction, the confidence, it just gives you more to be able to get to the next step. When you don't have confidence, it's hard to achieve something. Make that step small, baby steps. I don't care how small. Baby, you can have a size 12 foot, but you're making a step that's a size 1. I don't care. You're going to make 12 size 1s and get 1 foot ahead. That's how you have to do it. Stay passionate about your goal. Stay on track. And what I want you guys to do, look, hit us up. Let us know what you're doing with your goals. Let us send us some pictures. Post them out there for us to see what your vision boards look like. Talk to us about what you're trying to accomplish. If you're having some issues with figuring out how to break things out, send us an email. Let us know. We will help you get your goals accomplished in 2020.
We will. Yes, we will. That was a power. Wow. You know, I want to let everybody know, because that was like Thanksgiving, you know, dinner, where it was a lot, and I just stuffed. Everybody, don't forget, you can listen to this show over again. If you didn't have your pen, didn't have your paper, or you missed a point, or you just want to go back over it, after the show ends, it's automatically recorded and available for you. Look for it, just social media for that. So I wanted to definitely say that to everyone. This has been a great word.
Amen.
Minister. Yeah, Kimberly, that was a great word. I think we all need to, like you first asked, are we better than we were in last year? And we all should stretch to have that be a goal. And then look inside that and see what specifically God is telling us to do. And then obey. As we use me as an example, I'm sitting here writing and listening and tweeting.
Now, that's not easy to do.
And then, so I'm going to have to go back and listen just like everybody else, and make sure I didn't miss anything. But, the roadblocks is something that really, I think, hit me in the heart when you said it, so I know it hit a lot of other people, because that is where we usually stop and run. I don't need another thing in my life. If this is going to bring another thing, I don't need it. And instead of us having a more, Christian-led attitude with this, which is being zealous about God and knowing that he can do anything that he wants to do and just being so confident in that, that those little roadblocks are nothing for him.
Right.
They're not. So, oh my goodness. Any other words?
No, I just, I really just hope that people are going to really take this in and be really encouraged to accomplish more in 2014. We are God's people. And regardless of what might be going on in the world, we are a blessed people. And God is there for us. There is nothing that we can't accomplish without him. There's nothing too hard for him. You deserve it because God has chosen to bless you. You didn't earn it. He's just good. So accept it. Accept the platform that he gives to you. Those of you who are in leadership, step out. Own it. Own it in 2014. Don't allow anyone else to hinder what God has for you. There are many people who are holding back. Don't hold back. Step out in a big and a bold way. And do what God says for you to do, and watch what happens.
Okay, everyone, I want you, if you have any questions after this, any comments or concerns, you just email Kimberly Horvath at khordth@journeyhomeministries.org, and that's ministries.org. Or you can Google Sister Poochie, and it will take you to our website and look at the contact page, and our email address is there as well. So I wanted to put that. And please follow us on Twitter at Sister Poochie. That's all you have to do. Look up Sister Poochie at Twitter, and that's how you can follow me. And Kim, how can they follow you?
They can follow me on Twitter at Coach Kimberly.
Coach Kimberly. Okay, definitely sign up and follow us along with the show. Like she said, we're here for you, and whatever you may need, we'll make sure that we help you reach your goals for 2014 as you help us reach our goals for 2014.
That's
all right.
Look,
all right.
I take my own medicine too, so.
Right, exactly. You're going to be given a progress report, I know. Okay, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We will see
God
you
bless.
Next month. That's God bless. We'll see you next month. That'll be February. That will be February the 8th.
Wow.
At 4 p.m. Central Time for the next segment. Okay. God bless you, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. That was a lot of good word, a lot of good advice, and I hope everyone takes it under advisement. And re-listen to the show. Pass it to your friends and make sure that, you know, you are setting yourself up to do exactly that, to do have a vision and have that vision come to pass. All right, everybody. Now it's time for the dance break for the week, and then we're going to kick it off with DJ Frankie Vibe, our resident DJ, and he's going to take us out for the day. Here we go.
You're listening to Sister Poochie's Gospel House Mix with DJ Frankie Vibe. I bring forth the praise, she brings forth the word. God bless.
Say to you this afternoon, however difficult the moment, however frustrating.
long since learned that be a follower of Jesus Christ means taking up the cross. My Bible tells me that Good Friday comes before Easter. For the crown we wear there is the cross that we must bear. Let us bear it for truth, bear it for justice, bear it for peace.
Oh yeah, get that praise on with Sister Poochie's Gospel House Mix by DJ Frankie Vi. God bless everybody.
Okay, that was the Gospel House Break for the week with DJ Frankie Vi. Everyone, I want to thank you very much for coming to the show. And the people who were in the chat room, I apologize that they didn't get that up and running. But we will definitely be doing this. Definitely follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on LinkedIn. All right, look for your social medias for our next show. And we're going to roll out of here how we always roll out of here. Well, how great our art. Society Hill Music.